Well, good morning. This morning, for those of you who know me, you know that I'm not up here all that much, so this is a little bit different. And this morning is going to be a little bit of inside baseball, maybe. I'm going to talk about some things that I'm assuming there's a certain amount of knowledge maybe about Scripture. I typically don't like to just pull scriptures from all over the place because I think you got to be careful with that because the context is very important. But I'm kind of making an assumption here that you understand, you're familiar with the context of those passages. So it's a little bit on that side. And then also, it's a little bit on the personal side. And for those of you who have taken speech classes, and you may say, David, I never knew you took a speech class because you're not very good at it, but I actually did take one. They say, don't deal with things that are personal because you're already nervous as all get out when you get up here, and then when you deal with something that's personal, just things kind of fall apart sometimes. So we'll see how it goes. So I ask you a question this morning. The Bible is, just think about that. I think that several might answer that, and true, might say it is God's truth. It is God's revealed word to mankind, and I would agree with that, but I also want you to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective, in that God's word, especially the Old Testament and the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, really is a bunch of stories about God interacting with his creation. And in that way, we see who God is to the extent that he wanted to reveal that to us. And we learn about him. And it's not just him dealing with his people, Abraham, Moses, Noah, others. It's also him dealing with those people that aren't so good. Jezebel, Ahab, you know, pick the names and his reaction to that. And he gives us insight into learning something about him through real events that really happened with real people, right? And then we learn from that, or at least we're supposed to learn from that. Now, I find it interesting. So I grew up in the church, 47 years old, so I've heard a few sermons. And of all the sermons that I've ever heard, I've heard a lot of sermons about the Bible itself and those interactions with the people, but I've never heard a sermon from somebody coming up and saying about how God, as if there was going to be a book of the Bible written about that person and how God interacted in that person's life. And I don't know why that is. Maybe because it's so personal. I don't know. So this morning, we're going to study, that's interesting, not the right word, but I'm going to depart a little bit. I'm going to do something that at least to me is different. But before I do that, I need to give you a disclaimer. And this is a big disclaimer. I always give you a disclaimer. But this is a big disclaimer. This disclaimer is big enough to where I real close, didn't do this lesson. And I was going to come up with another lesson. I was going to continue my 6-year series on knowing God. I don't preach that much, right? So, and I went in. And I was going to talk about it, and I pulled up an old PowerPoint, you know, to copy and paste, and I'd already preached that lesson. And I was figuring, well, if I didn't even remember preaching it, there's no way anybody else would remember that I preached it, and I could have gotten away with it, and that would make it a lot easier because all the notes were done and all that stuff, right? But I figured, no, maybe that's God's way of saying, stick with what you were originally going to do, what's on your heart, and go ahead and do that. But you need to understand, and those of you who know me I hope you'll realize this, that I am a blessed man. Now, all of us are blessed spiritually in the same way, okay? God has created us, and he has given his son to allow us not only to be forgiven, but to be his children. Every one of us has access to that, and we choose to take it, or we choose to throw it back in his face. Every one of us has that choice. From a spiritual standpoint, all of us have access to the same blessings. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about when I say I'm a blessed man. That's a given. I say I'm a blessed man from a physical standpoint. And why God has given me so much, I have no idea. And I understand that if from this point forward, my life were to be like that time in Job's life where everything was taken away from him except for his physical life, and he even wanted it to be at that point in time, if my life from this point forward were like that, I don't see how it could be any worse, it were like that, I would still die in all altogether being more blessed than most people who have ever lived on the face of the earth. I am a blessed man. I understand that. I'm thankful for that, incredibly thankful for that. But I am blessed. So when I share some of these things with you, I know that there are some of you out there who are thinking, you think that's tough. You've got nowhere to speak. You don't know what trials are. And that's why I almost didn't do this, because I don't want to be taken as, you don't have a clue, you don't have suffering, you don't know what it's all about. So just please be patient with me and bear with me. And it has been my prayer, and it will continue to be my prayer, that what happens this morning, what we talk about this morning, will encourage you, will strengthen you, and it will help you to prepare yourself for when you go through maybe being so blessed and things being easy to going through a few trials and tribulations to whatever extent those might be. So this morning we're going to talk about the book of David. And not that David, this David, the other David. Okay? Ten months ago I stood before you, and the last time I was able to speak with you, talk to you, we talked about the book of Psalms 23, the shepherd. And we tried to look at that psalm, which is very known, most people can quote it, is very known, and we talked about it from the view of the eyes of a shepherd. Because David was a shepherd, and it probably meant something different to him being a shepherd than it does us, who the only thing we know about sheep are what we get from the petting zoo. Okay, it's just different. And there's one passage that talks in there, and I remember specifically saying this. Maybe it was providential that it stuck in my mind, I don't know. But I remember talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the whole concept in that psalm is that Jesus is our shepherd, and he provides for us. Now, he provides for us while we're here, and he allows us, but his point isn't here. His point is to get us to heaven. That's the point. It's a journey, okay? And we talked about that some. And to get us from these green pastures that we may be sitting in because he sees a storm coming, and to get us to where we need to be, because if he doesn't get us from point A to point B, we're going to die, and he knows it, but we're comfortable in point A. We don't see the storm coming. He's got to take us on a trip. And that trip is a difficult trip, and it's not fun, and it's hazardous. But he knows that he's got to get us there. And I remember saying at that point in that lesson that right now I'm sitting in green pastures, and I'm fat, dumb, and happy, and I've got it easy. And I don't know when the trip or how the trip is going to come, but I know it's coming. That was August. If I had only known then what I know now. Maybe it's better that I didn't know, because you just try to get through it day by day. Okay, so I want to share with you some things that have been going on with me over the last several months. And please don't misunderstand, this isn't about me. My intent in this is to show you that God is the same God today that parted the Red Sea and did all those magnificent works for his people, and his promises are true, and he is God, and nothing changes that. And he is active and effective in his people. And I just happen to be one of the recipients of that. And so are every one of you. Every one of you could give your same story that would encourage everybody else to show the effectiveness of God in their lives. And I recommend that you do that, because that is a powerful thing, I believe. Lunch with my boss, December 20th. I've been with the same company called CPI for 9 years, and life was good. Been given promotions, things were going good, enjoyed what I did. The last 10 months or so of that job, it was probably, I'll look back on it, the most fun, the best job that I ever had. It came to an end. The financial performance wasn't so good of the company. I understand a little bit about how financial numbers work, and I also understand how things work when financial numbers aren't going so well when you work for a publicly traded company. We had already had 4 rounds of layoffs. To be perfectly honest with you, I should have been included in the 4th round, maybe the 3rd. Nothing personal. It's business. I understood that. But I wasn't. The reason that I wasn't God, but the reason that I wasn't is that I was a friend of my boss, and he was protecting me at his own risk. And I knew that. So I had an opportunity to do what I had done in the past, which is to brush up my resume, which I did, and start looking for a job and give a two-week notice when I found one. Or I had an opportunity to handle it a little bit differently this time. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life." Matthew 13:22 says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfaithful." Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," in the context, it's talking about earthly things, "all these things shall be added to you." So I found myself in a situation where I had spent 9 years trying to show that I am different than the world, not because I'm special in and of myself, but because I'm God's son, and that I have a faith in things that are different than worldly faith, that I understand that I work for God, and God's the one who provides me employment, and he just happens to use a company to pass that on to me. Or I have an opportunity to let 9 years of trying to show myself an act of faith of that I'm different, which I believe that I had done with my boss, to kind of get worried about things and kind of take care of myself. This particular instance, I sat down with my boss, and the conversation was a long conversation with a lot of prayer that he didn't know I was saying while I was having this conversation, where I basically said, "Tony, I know how things are going. I got a pretty good idea of what the conversation is, and I've got a pretty good idea that your boss, who's the CEO of the company, told you to fire me. And I understand that, and I don't take that personally. And I think you're protecting me, and I appreciate that. But please understand that I understand that the 9 years of the blessings that I've had aren't from you. They're from God. He's just using you to pass them on to me. And that whatever you need to do, you do it, God will provide. I don't want you to lose any sleep over it. I don't want you to be worried about it. When it's time to do that, just do it and it will be all right. I'll be okay." And there was a relief that came over him, which kind of worried me, to be perfectly honest with you. That was one of the times I started praying, you know, while he was being relieved, I was starting to take on some of his anxiety. And he looked at me and he said, "David, thank you. If I were you, I would start looking for a job." And there you have it. It's interesting. I don't know how many people do this, but I find it beneficial. I keep a journal, call it a diary. Guys call it a journal. I guess girls call it a diary. That night, I wrote this. "I wonder what is coming next regarding potential trials and doing without, that is work, so that my faith can be strengthened, or is there another job right around the corner?" I didn't know. The next day, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think if you guys are like me, you find out how much sleep you really need when there's a lot of stress on you, because you either can't fall asleep or you just wake up. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I get my phone, and it's the phone call. I knew it was coming at some point, I just didn't know when, right? Actually, it was 8 calls, 3 messages, and 10 texts. And all of them were from family. It's not good. Either somebody's dying or somebody's dead. It's what it is. So I find out that my dad has a golf ball-sized tumor in his head. So, James 4 and verse 13, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So I ask you, at that particular moment, after I got the phone call, how much time do you think I was concerned about my job? Didn't even think about it. So I make a trip, get on a plane. Oh, and by the way, when you try to buy a plane ticket in that time of the year on the last minute, it's tough. There aren't many seats available except for the really, really expensive ones. But that's all right. I was able to get out there and to see my dad before he went in for brain surgery, right? Found out, they did the CAT scan, it's cancer. And if there is such a thing as good brain cancer, this wasn't it. It wasn't the good kind. It was the kind where it's just, even if they cut it out, they're not going to get all of it. And just, you know, door A and door B, neither one of them are good doors. It's just the way it is. So Jenny and I decided we need to go on a road trip and see dad, my dad, their grandpa, which could very well be the very last time. So we go on a road trip, December 25th. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I can laugh at this now. I wasn't laughing at the time. Okay, I've got my entire family in the car, 3 hours into a 20-plus hour trip. On Christmas Day, we have a flat tire. It's like, are you kidding me? Is that the best you've got? You're going to give me a flat tire 3 hours into a 20-hour trip on Christmas Day? That's all right. Really? It's okay. It wasn't funny. I didn't have that sense of humor at the time that it happened. And Jenny never says anything bad about me, so you have to ask one of the kids what my actual response was. So it happens, right? Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. That's interesting. I'll leave it there because I'm going to go long anyway. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? Now please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying I'm Job. It's not my point of this verse. Okay, so don't misunderstand me. My point is next. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and y'all know what happened after that. Oh, yeah, it does. You can't see the screen. I need technical help. I don't know how to fix that one. Oh, man. You know, that's not going to be good. And you'll understand in a minute. Is that the guy? Somebody needs to be fired over that. Just my opinion. Oh, guys, you have no idea what that's doing to me. You'll see in a minute. This may be one of those things that I put into a lesson later on because maybe it's providential or maybe it's Satan take a shot at me. And if any one of you guys can figure out how you figure out which one that is, you let me know. Oh, you get 100% raise. How much are you getting paid? Okay, so I'll keep going while he's doing that. Okay, so we had a few days with my dad before the brain surgery, okay? And I was staying with him. Good, it's working. Thank you, Charlie. Has it been off the whole time? Oh, okay. I was staying with him that night. Me and my sister were taking turns. It, you know, when you've got a lump the size of a golf ball in your brain, it affects you negatively. So we just were with him the whole time. It creates problems. And he woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was already awake. And I had my computer out and just trying to capture thoughts of the things that were going on and stuff like that. And my dad started to pray. And I think he had already been praying, but he started praying out loud. And I was sitting there, and I don't think he was cognizant of the fact that I was there. And I, even if I was, I don't think it would have mattered. I mean, obviously, think about what he's going through. And I heard his prayer. Now, I almost think that it was providential that he prayed out loud so that I could hear it. And I think God had something to do with that. So what I'm going to share with you is the prayer of a man who just spent the last 30 years of his life trying to sow God's seed. And he walked away from a pretty good career to do that. Now, as you can tell, there's no way I can read it to you. I wish I could, because there's certain voice inflection that makes a difference. But I'll fall apart. I just can't do it. Okay, so I'm going to put it up there on the screen. I've cut certain parts of it out because they're too personal, and it's just out of respect for myself and my mom and other things. They're not bad things. They're just, think about it. Now, this is the point of this. It's not my dad's prayer that's the point of this. What the point of this is, what I need you to do is I need you to find some quiet time. Those of you who have small kids, good luck. Maybe you and your husband or spouse can switch off. I need you to find some quiet time and consider what your prayer would be 2 hours before you're going in for brain surgery that you know you're probably not going to come out of. What would your prayer be? Okay? And if you don't like it, fix it. Because what you've got is now. You don't have tomorrow. There is no such thing as tomorrow. There's now. And that's where you can find out what's really going on. Okay? So I'll put this up there. You guys can read it. I'll get myself composed. I'll give you a few minutes. This was the prayer of my dad. There's a couple verses I want you to think about first. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Never Know When to Stop. If you want a copy of that, I'll give it to you later. I found it interesting. Like I said, it's a little bit of inside baseball. My dad, whenever something bad would happen to him in the past, he would always say, well, at least it's not brain surgery. So that line in the middle of it was him saying, oh, this is actually brain surgery. The sense of humor to the end. After the surgery, things just didn't go well. It was just downhill from there, physically. So a week after the surgery, on January 5th, a soldier goes home. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in and steal. Do you know what I did for the next 6 days after my dad's death? I took 72 years worth of stuff and I stuck it in boxes to put it in a truck, to drive it 20-something hours, to stick it in Uncle Bob's storage off of Highway 6 in Sugar Land, where it sits to this day. Perspective. You know what didn't go in a box? Thousands of memories. Can't put them in a box. Can't be taken away. Deuteronomy 11:19, you shall teach them to your children. It's talking about his word. Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. There's a lot who have young kids in our family, and there's a lot of you who are expecting young kids. Let me tell you something that I hope I've learned, and I still struggle with this. You cannot replace time. Things can be replaced. Things are not important. Things go in Uncle Bob's storage, or the trash, or the Goodwill pile. So, if you're in the mindset where you believe that I can work 20 hours a day, or I can do all these things for myself, but I give my child quality time for 30 minutes a day, be not deceived. You know what I remember about my father? I don't remember the big things, so to speak. It's all the little things that I remember. And that's because there was time. Time around the dinner table, time at a ball game, time whatever, but it was time. It wasn't the gifts. I don't remember the gifts. I remember the time. A memorial service, January 12th, a week later. I was the one who gave the sermon or sermonette or whatever you want to call it. And there were several people there who said a lot of really nice things about my dad. And I appreciate that. I was able to hear some stories that I didn't know about. Ecclesiastes 7:12, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. So when I was giving that talk, I remember specifically reading Proverbs 22 and verse 6. There it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I remember specifically what I said in a group of several hundred people after reading that verse. I said, Dad, you taught me, and I will not depart. And I stick by those words. It's a choice. Some things happened after that to where I'm convinced that Satan was at my dad's funeral service. And he took that as a challenge. Remember Michael saying, he wasn't going to put a railing accusation against Satan, but the Lord rebuke you? I don't know how you guys take it that things work, but I think Satan's as active as he ever was. He's just been limited. So, some things happened after that. Now, I still think I should have said it, but I think Satan was there for a reason, just like maybe he's here listening. Because God's seed, when planted, is going to have a reaction. And if it lands on a good heart, you know the parable, it will produce fruit. But if it's on a hard heart, Satan wants to grab it as quick as he can, and he wants to get it out. This is a battle. It always has been, and it always will be. We happen to know who wins, and so does Satan. But it's a battle right now. And there were a lot of people at that funeral service who I think Satan was concerned about. He was concerned about them either becoming a Christian, or there were those who used to be Christians who decided to give up on it. And he didn't want their conscience to be pierced. So I think he was there trying to take care of business. Satan isn't done with me. January 13th. Or is it God answering my prayer that I've been saying for many years? And I pray that I'll still have the faith and the strength to keep saying. And I think this is one of the things that made David a man after God's own heart, which is a good thing to aspire to be. Psalm 139, David said this in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." James 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy." I think I can get through it. I still hadn't gotten to the point of counting it all joy yet. I'm still working on that one. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Sunday night, Jenny and I are trying to get some rest because it's been a rough week, physically and emotionally. We're trying to get some rest so we can get in a car, a truck, it's packed to the gills, and drive it 20-something hours to stick it in a storage shed, which is now packed to the gills. But instead of getting good rest, Jenny starts having physical problems. So we spend the night in the emergency room. Blood pressure's all over the place, can't get her breath. Things like, we got to figure out if this is a heart attack coming, we don't know. We just know it's not good. And for those of you who have driven from Phoenix on I-10 to Texas, there are spots where you're 300 miles either direction away from anything. And that's not where you want to have problems. So we spend the night in the emergency room. And although this last month Jenny's felt better, she still doesn't feel good. I get back, February, a realization of unemployment. So my employer, God, gives me a package. That's a nice way of saying you're fired and don't sue us. And I wouldn't have. But this was a little bit different. Just think about this. So I had basically at lunchtime fired myself, which is still the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. And I've been looking for a job. Really, I haven't been looking for a job because I got sidetracked with some other things. And I haven't had much time, hadn't been at work, hadn't done much of anything, but I'm given a package. Now listen to this. This is amazing. I'll share some passages with you, which I'm sure come to your mind. But this package that I'm given is, end of March will be my last official day of employment. I'll be paid through the end of June. I hadn't been to work since December 20th when I got the phone call, right? And I'll still get a couple bonuses of stock options, which are pretty lucrative, that I'm not supposed to get because I'm not employed anymore, but they're going to give them to me anyway. Are you kidding me? And, by the way, just in case, I try to be careful on what I say God was thinking, right? Because I don't know. But just in case, David, you're going to be too worried about money because you kind of worry about providing for the family and stuff like that, let me just go ahead and give you a bonus last year, which was almost equal to 1 year's salary. So just don't worry about the stuff. Take care of what's important. Really? Why would you give me so much? I don't know. He did. Look at Abraham. Look at all the people in the Bible. I'm not saying that that's it. And I'm just sharing with you personally what God chose to do with me. Let me share some verses with you. Psalms 37:25. "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Luke 10, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Think about this. If I hadn't been fired, I was put into a position which would have required me to travel 2 weeks out of every month to Europe. So think about this. I've got 5 kids who are homeschooled, and I don't do that work. Jenny does, right? I've got my mother, who isn't very healthy, living with us now, and Jenny doesn't feel well, and I'm going to be gone 50% of the time. I think God probably saw something that wasn't going to work out so well. David, you need something different. Here's the impetus to get you out of your current situation and go do something different, just in case you're not smart enough to figure this one out on your own. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm reminded of Isaiah 55 and verse 8, which says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. And praise God for that, because I couldn't have figured this one out that well. O ye, the ye there is me, O ye of little faith. So I'm looking for a job, right? March is coming, which means I'm going to officially be unemployed, although I hadn't been at work for 3 months, because my boss came up to me and said, David, don't worry about it. If you want to come to work, come to work, but just take care of things. So I haven't been at work because there were a lot of things that needed to be taken care of. Matthew 6:30, Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I remember vividly waking up early again one morning because I needed to look for and find a job. And I remember having this dilemma of turning on the computer and start looking, or do I open up the Bible and start reading? And I wanted to look for a job, but my conscience got the better of me. So I started to read, and I started to pray. Now I would assume that I'm not that much different than you. This was one of those prayers where I believe that my groanings were too deep for me to be able to put in words, and the Holy Spirit helped me. It was one of those kind of prayers. I was becoming too anxious. I don't know why. He's just taking care of things, but O ye of little faith, right? So I'm praying, and I'm getting towards the end of that prayer, and my phone rings. Now, I shouldn't have answered the phone, but I refer back to O ye of little faith. And I stop the prayer. Shame on me for doing that. And I pick up the phone. You know what it was? Job offer. It's like, really? Really? O ye of little faith. Which is the job that I have today. So, what's next? I don't know. That's just 6 months. I have a good job. My mom is doing significantly better. Thank you for all of your prayers and continued prayers. And Jenny's doing a lot better. Not completely there yet, but a lot better. But it's interesting. So those are the good things. Friday morning before I start my new job, I get a love letter from the IRS. In that love letter, it says, we would like to audit your father's 2010 tax return. What? You're raising funds for Texas line dancing classes. You run out of money. I mean, really? But that's all right. It's the way it is. We'll get through it. So I want to leave with you some verses that I think are very powerful and that I think you know well. And if you don't, as you continue on, you will find these to be incredibly impactful in your life. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, No temptation has overtaken you, David, except such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you, David, to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you, David, may be able to bear it. Philippians 4 and verse 6, David, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Wasn't expecting that. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's all I got. If you don't have God as your Savior, you don't have all these blessings, these protections, this hope. You're in a bad state. You and only you can fix that. It's your choice. He has made it very clear what He wants of you. He wants everything. He wants you to give your life to Him and allow Him to open up the treasures of heaven to you. You can do that now. There's not tomorrow. There's now. If we can pray for you, we would love to pray for you. Either way, come forward while we stand and sing.